scared, and Mayfield was scared. Why? Take your damn shots, Lito. I have to say it again. Take your four or five shots, get your flags, get your one completion, and let's see what happens.
Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman Podcast and all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. BillCurryFord.com is where you should start shopping today. They are beating any advertised price by $100. There's no catch. And GM Sean Sullivan has the Ira Kaufman discount for all Joe Bucks Fan listeners. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan and you will get that. But more important, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They are family owned. That family name is the Curry family. 65 plus years serving Tampa customers, but also the Tampa community. They are so charitable. Check them out and everything they offer at BillCurryFord.com. Service, sales, they'll come out to your place and get you a ride in. And they'll get you a loaner vehicle if you need that. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out today. And you'll see their great pricing right online. Huge inventory. It's a great time to buy. Your trade will never be worth more than it is right now. BillCurryFord.com. And of course, a hurricane is on the way. No joke. Everybody stay safe, but everybody be ready with Florida's Elite Restoration. Anytime you have storm damage, mold, fire, flooding in your home, you need someone to call a restoration company that is going to be able to fight with your insurance company and know what to do to make sure your property is protected, restored, and repaired. That is Florida's Elite Restoration. Check them out, floridaselite restoration.com, but also check them out on Google. See their five-star reviews across the board. They're a fantastic local company, but they also service across the Tampa Bay area to Orlando and across the state. floridaselite restoration.com. We've been talking about them. Now it's time, if you haven't done it yet, get to their website so you know who to call 24/7 if something happens. And of course, we're always just very thankful for our presenting sponsors there, Bill Curry Ford and Florida's Elite Restoration, on a personal level, because we love those guys. Josh Martin, the owner at Florida's Elite Restoration, he has got 14 years in the insurance business on their side, and now he's been for years on this side helping consumers. And Sean Sullivan, who was a customer of Florida's Elite Restoration, is just fantastic. Reach out to him at Bill Curry Ford. He's the GM. He's our draft guru at JoeBucksFan.com. He'll talk to you about anything, vehicles, Buccaneers. It's great to have a family, which is Sean, in the car business. You can message him at BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, now let's get down to business here. One thing I like about doing the podcast after the game, after the emotion dies down a little bit, after Todd Bowles gets to talk the following day, after some good sense can be wrapped around it, we can have a good conversation. Doesn't mean we're not passionate or emotional, but just a little bit smarter, a little bit better. But Sage, we're going to clear the floor. And what do Bucks fans need to understand about what the heck happened on Sunday, and really what was a historic upset, Ira? I started doing the research, and I still haven't found anything yet. When is the last time the Buccaneers were blown out, 3-score loss at home, when the opposing quarterback didn't throw a touchdown pass? I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, that's that's pretty pitiful, Steve. Look, I got nothing positive to say about Sunday. Zero. And by the way, Lee, neither did Todd Bowles today. I think he's shell-shocked. I think Bowles is shell-shocked. Not even the sloppy tackling, but just the lack of energy. They were the hungrier team. Denver, why? I think Bowles is wrestling with that. Lee, we'll get into the details this debacle, but I want to say up front, Lee, that the NFL is such a week-to-week, there's always an overreaction. Always. For example, after they beat Detroit, impressive win on the road. Not that they played great, not that they outplayed Detroit, but I thought the Bucs deserved to win nevertheless. I saw a couple of power rankings. We mentioned, I think Steve said two of them. It had the Bucs number 3 out of 32 teams. That's an overreaction, and I said so on our previous podcast. I didn't know they were going to lay an egg like that. And now, you know, Lee, you read the comments. I had 125 comments on my Buck takeaways. That might be a new record for me. And, you know, quite a few of them, more than a few of them, said I'm done with this team. They're going to finish 8-9. Bowles is terrible. Why did I ever, get my confidence in Bowles? He's awful. Lee, it's an overreaction the other way. Now, Lee, I think the only story really going into week four is, are they going to make Buck fans forget about what happened in week three and bounce back with a decent performance? Or is this going to be the start of another tailspin like we've had, I believe, the last 2 years? The last year with Brady, I think they had a tailspin.
Yep.
We know what happened last year. I believe it was 6 out of 7 in the middle of the season. The schedule's about to get tougher. The Eagles are not a pushover. They pulled out the game at New Orleans. The Eagles don't look like they're terrifying, Lee, but they're not a pushover. They're better than they were going into that playoff game last year when they were in total disarray. So anyway, Lee, I'll turn it over to you, but if they bounce back, no big deal. They're 3-1. If they don't, they're 2-2 going into the teeth of the schedule. That's what I'm looking at. I'm willing to forget about Sunday if the Bucs let us, if they let us.
I said before the season the Bucs are a 9-win team. I saw a path to 10 wins, yep, but they'd have to steal a win. A week ago, they stole a win in Detroit. And yesterday, they gave that win right back up. I don't think anybody predicted the Bucs to lose to Denver. Before the season, I don't think anybody expected that. So they're back to square one as far as, you know, they need to steal a win to get the 10 wins. And me, this just, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. I hate to harp on this one thing. I know it ticks people off at one buck, but this passive, oh, we get pressures, that's fine. No, you need sacks. The evidence is overwhelming. Sacks kill drives. I point out very specifically the Bucks in the second half. Their first two possessions, they had drives that looked promising. They get the midfield. Mayfield both times is sacked. They punt. That doesn't happen with pressures. I'm sorry. And if the Bucks choose to ignore it, well, it's going to bite them in the ass. And it bit them in the ass yesterday. So far this year, the ratio, opponents, Bucks, sacks, opponents have outsacked the Bucks 13-2 so far this year. And Steve did some research. I'm in the process of looking at this entire century. But Steve, what did you see when you looked up every team that was last in the league? What was their record?
Well, Sage, the Bucks are on pace for 11 sacks this season, which would be, you know, bottom of the league and one of the lowest totals in a long time. In the last 20 seasons, only two teams that were last in the league in sacks made the playoffs. Neither won a playoff game.
Steve, I'm not going there. They're on pace for 11 sacks. I mean, that's laughable. They are on pace. That's a fact.
It's certainly laughable right now, Ira.
Here's why I think it's laughable, Lee, because even after JPP and Sue left, I mean, somehow, some way, Bowles always gets his 45, 48 sacks. And, you know, it's going on 5 years now. So is he going to do it again? No. He might have to settle for 35. But he's going to find a way, Lee. If he has to blitz more, he'll blitz more. Maybe it's going to help when Kansas comes back, if he comes back. Same with Villa. But up to this point, Lee, your point's well taken. Now, Lee, you gave me a great stat earlier today. I'd like you to repeat it on the podcast. What percentage of drives score touchdowns when a sack's involved?
When an offense has a sack on a particular drive, the offense, are scoring a touchdown at a 6% rate.
That is startling. Startling, Steve.
That's through three games. Teams that suffer a sack on the same drive score a touchdown 6% of the time.
You know, Steve, I watch the broadcast very closely. One thing they said a lot on the broadcast, Steve, right from the start, big point about how much time Nick's had. A few times he didn't have too much time. He used his feet. He showed me more mobility than I thought he had, whereas Mayfield yesterday didn't seem to have much mobility. You can't really say he escaped three sacks like I thought he did against Detroit. Lee, thinking back, I said he could have been sacked 7 or 8 times at Ford Field. He was sacked 7 times yesterday. We might be looking at something historic here.
I heard from a couple people that said after Mayfield threw that terrible interception when he targeted Evans in double coverage, that was almost like he was scared after that. I really wasn't paying attention to Mayfield's nerves, and obviously I didn't have access to instant replay. I mean, yeah, I couldn't go back and rewind it 5 times. I was at the mercy of the one instant replay that the broadcast had. Man, he he gave up on the play awful quick. Right when he heard footsteps, he bailed. Like,
yeah, he did. He did bail.
If he got spooked about something, I really don't know. Oh, by the way, for the pressures are better than sacks crowd, you know how I feel about them. Greg Gaines and the great Logan Hall had a combined quarterback pressures yesterday of zero.
That's hard to do. Steve, along the lines with the Mike Evans thing, and, you know, it doesn't have to be just Evans. Could be Trey Palmer, McMillan, whoever you want to name, Steve. And I'll put it as gently as I can. I'm going to try to be a gentleman here, Stevie. If this ever happens and Liam Cohn is interviewing for a head coaching job next January, if he's not going to bring the tapes of the last 2 weeks, he's not. The offense wasn't very good in Detroit. Not very good. And it was atrocious yesterday. And, Steve, I used the word in my column. I might have shook you up yesterday when you read it. They played scared. Cohn was scared, and Mayfield was scared. Why? Take your damn shots, Lito. I have to say it again. Take your four or five shots. Get your flags. Get your one completion. Yeah. And let's see what happens.
You were way ahead of this, Ira. But I read a column over the weekend how you throw up the ball in football in 2024. The ball's anywhere close. The guy breathes on a receiver. Here comes the flag.
They don't turn around. It's a flag. It's a flag. And, you know, you might hit one out of five. I'm not going to say you're going to complete three out of five. You'll hit one, and you might get one flag, maybe two. Go do it, Steve. I don't know what Cohn was thinking about. I'll give him credit for one thing. Cohn did show some creativity with how to use Bucky Irving in the same backfield as Rashad White. Lee, we saw it a couple of times. That little flip, the little misdirection, which gets Irving going in high gear before he reaches the line of scrimmage. I think that's an excellent idea. And it worked a couple of times. So I'll give him that. But as far as playing scared with Mike Evans, Lee, does Mike Evans have to prove anything at this point? Does he? I don't care if Deion Sanders is covering him. Surtain's good. He's really good. But he's been facing top corners his whole life, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, as the Bull said today, you know, he's faced good corners before. What's the big deal about Surtain? So,
well, a few things, Sage. One, Mike Evans spoke on the Buccaneers Radio Network today. He said he didn't do a good job of getting open soon enough. Like, he felt like he was getting open, but he felt like he takes a lot of pride in getting open faster than he was. And of course, the pass rush was there and it just wasn't a good fit. He didn't say, it's my fault. I got the ball as many times as I was open. But you're right. They did play scared. There's no reason for it. And I'll have to go again to Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles is out there today saying we got to get the ball to Mike more. Well, can't you tell that to Liam Cohn at halftime? It only takes literally 6 seconds to get the words out. So I put some of that on Bowles. Say, hey, get Mike five targets on these first couple of drives. Let's see what happens. You know, it's not that hard.
You're right, Steve. And Evans isn't going to do it. He's not Tyreek Hill. He's not going to cry about, lack of targets, Lee. So in that way, you know, you got to step up if you're Bowles, Lee. And say it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was, looking at Bowles today, the morning after. It looked like he's a little peeved at Cohn. Lee, maybe that's an exaggeration. I think he is.
I don't know
maybe.
If he looked that way, but he sounded that way.
Yeah, I thought thought so too, Ira. I mean, 7 points, that's a huge, huge, huge problem. And no matter how you cut it, it's a huge problem. 0 points in the second half. How do you get shut out in the second half against a team that's just really not very good? They're not horrible, but they're really not very good at home. I mean, maybe he's putting up a little bit of a show to, sort of intimidate Cohn a little bit, a little gamesmanship. I don't know, Ira, but for me, here's the thing, Sage. The game was lost in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and that's what's most disturbing. No pass rush. I'm starting to think, and I've been watching the film a little bit, I'm starting to think that they missed Devin White on these blitzes. Doesn't mean that he would get home all the time, but, you know, you're blitzing right, you're helping set up, you're drawing attention, you're clearing lanes for other people, you've got the eye of the offensive coordinator game planning against you. I'm starting to think they're missing him on the blitzes. They obviously, Lee mentioned that, there's no pass rush, none. And the Broncos had a backup right tackle making his first start undrafted. Which,
from Illinois of all colleges.
Steve, interesting point.
And the offensive line, you guys brought it up a couple of weeks ago. not a very popular take that, hey, Tristan Wirfs just doesn't look the same as he did last year yet. And you know what? He didn't look that great yesterday. And the interior line, Barton is probably playing the best out of the three of them. And this guy, Schooley, just is not. I mean, I warned you about Schooley last time, and his lack of athleticism is extraordinary. I'm not even really sure what's going on out there. Some of these plays, like Baker Mayfield's, like, you know, he's trying to extend plays and he's realizing that Schooley can't even extend it. Like, he's exhausted. He looks like Donovan Smith after a trip to Golden Corral.
Lee, I'm going to throw this to you in a second here, but this might sound crazy. Lee, I think it does sound crazy, but, you know, I'm the sage, so I can say it. I'm not sure Schooley played any worse yesterday than Bredesen and Malk. I'm not sure about that.
No, I heard someone we all know who's a big football guy, big football junk, and I saw a film clip on Twitter 3-4 hours ago that suggested the same thing. The Bucs are trying to cover for Schooley, specifically Cody Malk, and that in turn may have exposed Cody Malk to look worse than what he is.
That could be, Lee, because...
Is that the same guy who doesn't like Bucky Irving?
That's one guy, yeah. And the other guy, I don't know if you know of him, I think his name's Ben Fennell, works for the NFL or works for the Eagles. I can't remember which.
I mentioned that Bowles sounds a little peeved at Cone, and I mentioned, you know, not taking deep shots and not getting the ball to Evans. There's two sides to it, Steve. I think equally, I think Bowles is wondering what's going on with Bucky Irving. I think it's another problem with Cone. Bowles has to talk to him about it.
Well, Bowles has been dropping less than transparent hints all summer long about Rashad White. I wrote about it, and people get mad at me. I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but Rashad White is this untouchable player for the Bucs. You know, how dare you say anything bad about him? Ira, help me out. What play of the 200-plus snaps he's taken to run the ball up the middle gives you any idea he's a good running back up the middle? Someone point that out to me. I'll go back and look.
I'm trying to remember one. Steve, there's got to be a couple. I mean, a couple. But, Steve, Bucky Irving's got two long runs. Two long runs already in three games in limited playing time. Rashad White does not bust 30-yarders, Steve. A few. Irving's got two 30-yarders, Steve.
Sage, we've been looking. I don't know if anybody else was. I don't listen to everybody else. But I know most people out there love Rashad White. We were been hammering the guy since last year, all summer, to the point of annoyance. And here it is. Now they've got a running back with juice, a guy they haven't had like this since Doug Martin showed up. If you take away Bucky Irving's two giant runs this year, he's still averaging 4 yards a carry.
Nice.
And, you know, he's just proven that he's special. 25 carries, 154 yards. It's a small sample size, but it's over three games against different looks, and he hasn't fumbled, and he's a playmaker. Give him the ball. You know, it's just that simple. Hopefully we see that change. I think you said it in your column, Ira. You know, give him 15 carries and see what's going to happen. What's the harm?
Yeah, what's the harm? By the way, Steve, you mentioned Devin White. Hard to believe, Steve, you're using Devin White as his absence as perhaps being critical to the Bucs' misfortunes. Steve, I wonder if Devin White's going to dress on Sunday. I don't believe he dressed on the Saints game. I think the guy that's replacing him, Steve, I think the guy's playing great for Philly. You know, White's not getting that job back. And I wonder if he's going to even dress against the Bucs.
Well, KJ Britt and Servassier Dennis, they split snaps equally against the Broncos. And Britt, you know, he got exposed on not having enough speed to make a basic play, but a critical play, absolute critical play. And I watched that. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just can't overcome being a fifth round pick who isn't fast. You just, you know, there's only so much you can do. And bad angle, no speed. And that's a play that should be made. Everybody knows it out there, but it seems like they got a guy in Dennis who can actually make the play. You know, that's a decision for Bowles now as well.
Absolutely. Lee, that was a bonehead call, and they should have paid the price for it. On 4th and 1, he does a little flip to the right. Lee, when the guy caught the ball, I said to my wife, they got him. That's a 4-yard loss. And then he ends up scoring. You know how demoralizing that is, Lee? Awful, awful.
Well, like Steve said, if that was Servassier Dennis, it's probably a tackle. I totally agree with Steve on that. Here's some wild stats for you. This goes back to Bucky Irving. And I'll give the guy credit for digging up the work. It's River Wells. the guy for Sports Illustrated. Bucky Irving, this is from Pro Football Reference, not the Pro Football Frauds. This is a legitimate site. They're advanced stats. Bucky Irving is second in the NFL in yards before contact. 5.2 wow. yards. Take wow. a guess who's dead last.
Don't say it, Lee. Don't say it.
Rashad White. Now, what's Bulls been bellyaching and whining about all summer? Rashad White's got to hit the holes. And I've been saying for over a year that he can't read holes. Well, I think this is pretty freaking good evidence that Rashad White, A, doesn't read holes well, and or B, doesn't hit the holes. I've been saying that for over a year, but I'm the dumbass.
You know, Steve, this is kind of a moment of truth for Bowles and Cone about this running back situation. I think it is. I'll tell you what, if White starts the game and, you know, his first two carries get a total of 5 yards up the middle, the boos are going to be cascading down Raymond James. I thought I heard some on the TV. Lee, am I wrong?
I think the boos were four. They were down 3 scores. They're running the ball up the middle. Like, what the hell? You need points, not punts. What I'm curious if you guys heard, it was pretty clear at the stadium, the fans want Bucky Irving. They want Bucky Irving. They've been hollering, Bucky, Bucky, Bucky. He touches the ball. They're all into it, man. They want Bucky Irving. And so I don't know if that came through on the TV. I'm done with Rashad White. And you know what? Last week, I'm in the locker room, and a friend of ours, you know, I don't have too many friends in that media room. This is one of them, one of the very few. He comes up to me in the locker room, and he's like, hey, Lee, who's not in the locker room? I look around. Of course, there's, you know, any one of 50 guys. Like, well, okay, fill me in. Who's not here? And he's like, Rashad White. And I'm like, you know, you're right. And we all know Rashad White is a friend to everybody's voice recorder and everybody's microphone. He loves it. Well, guess who was the second guy out of the locker room before they opened up the locker room Sunday? The second guy out, Rashad White.
I know exactly where you stand, Lee, outside that locker room. Nobody's getting past you. Nobody. And
to be fair, guess who the first player was to leave?
I
and
think
apparently
you said,
he's got a habit of doing that.
You said it was Bucky Irving. You said it was Bucky Irving,
yeah.
Steve, big picture for a minute, Steve, before we get back to what we saw, that garbage we saw on Sunday. Steve, big picture. You know, there were a couple of commentators. The Bucks are going 8-9. Bulls stinks. Steve, we can't overreact to one game unless it becomes more than one game.
Oh,
I mean, that's
yeah.
my main point.
Yeah, I'm not overreacting at all. I don't like the loss, but, you know, there's only 5 undefeated teams in the NFL. 5. 5. Everybody else is either 2-1, 1-2, or winless. So the Bucks are in good company, and no loss is going to feel good early in the year. This one is especially heinous. So I think in some ways it's good for the team, and it's always good if you're going to take a loss like this, let it be out of conference for all those tiebreakers. And, you know, maybe it's what they needed. It exposes some major issues with the defense that I'm not sure are correctable. And obviously they can't just magically make these guys healthy, but they are coming back. And Cohen can't attack this thing scared, and they got to fix that offensive line somehow and get it right against a good Eagles team whose defense showed up against the Saints. And, you know, frankly, the Saints choked that game away at the last second. Otherwise, Philly would be here 1-2. And thankfully they did, because the Saints now fell to 2-1 and took a brutal loss. So I don't know. I'm not too worried about it, Ira, you know, but it still hurts.
It's nice to see Atlanta at 1-2, Lee. We're certainly not worried about the Panthers in terms of the division competition, although they had a nice win. I feel good for Canales, Lee. We like Canales. Good guy.
He sure looks smart today, doesn't he?
They had a nice offense. They scored plenty of points. But
and they scored the Saints, in their first possession.
Yeah. Steve, again, you were right about the Saints. They didn't play bad yesterday. Saints didn't play bad. You know, they could have won. They would have been 3-0, beating some good teams. So they look like they're going to be in the mix. I think the Bucks are going to be in the mix, Lee. Now, look, Lee, I'll be the first to say it. If they come out flat again, we got a major problem.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Steve touched upon this as well. Steve's more into the leaders thing than I am. But, Steve, how can you come out? You got a chance to stomp on a team right away, and you come out flat like that. The only thing I can think of, and this is one reason why I took the Broncos and the points, thank goodness, that win in Detroit was such an emotional high that it's only human nature you're going to have a little bit of a letdown. I didn't expect a lot of a letdown, but I expected some. I mean, you got Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield just coming right out and saying, you know, they wanted to win more than we did. And I will say this to back up Evans and to back up Baker Mayfield. To me, the very first play from scrimmage, when Cortland Sutton caught a 20-some-yard pass down the left side from Bo Nix, and Sutton just abused Jamel Dean, physically abused him. I'm a little surprised that he didn't get flagged. Just tossed him around like a little kid. I'm like, right there's a tone setter. I remember when that happened. I'm like, here we go. A typical Sean Payton team. They're going to play the role of the bully today. And that's exactly what they did.
You know, he had good coverage on that play, Lee.
Sage, a couple of things with the team and leadership and how they came, all of seem to agree that they took the Broncos lightly and came out flat and couldn't shake it. It doesn't make any sense. You know, Todd Bowles tried so hard in his comments and everything after we know what happened with the Bucs last year, 3-1 at the bye week. And then they were feeling it, doing interviews, all this stuff. And then they collapsed after that. And Baker Mayfield, which is really a stunning number. I think about the math on this. When his team is a favorite as a starting quarterback, enters the game as a betting favorite, his record is 14-27-1. Think about that. So he knows he doesn't play as well against when he's a favorite. And you would just think that they wouldn't let that happen. Somebody all week would have been freaking out, or Todd Bowles would have pulled a Bill Parcells, his mentor, and just assigned somebody to go bananas all week and start screaming that we got to treat this like a Super Bowl. And, you know, you guys I don't like the way you're dealing with things, and plant a player to start doing that. But then here's Mayfield coming out after the game saying, you know what, we learned that we have to treat every game like a playoff game. It's just hard to believe. What do you think?
I understand, Steve, but let's not forget, and if I don't remind you of this, Lee would. Week one, they were favored against the Commanders, and, you know, Mayfield was tremendous. He was spectacular. Might have had the best opening week game of any quarterback. Lee, to your point about you don't understand coming out flat or whatever, Lee, I'm going to mention a guy's name, Mike Panetti. Used to work at the Tribune. Very sharp guy. Yeah, you guys dealt with him. New Yorker, Long Island guy.
He liked Steve.
Now I lost a little respect for Mike Panetti, but that's okay. Steve, I like to bounce things off him. I talk to him once every couple of weeks. The late, great Martin Fennelly, you used to call Panetti every week when he before he was writing columns about the Bucs and run things past him. Panetti's living in New Mexico. He's not even around. But he follows the NFL very closely. He's been known to put a wager down. He's very sharp. Anyway, late during the week, maybe Friday, I got a message, a text from Panetti. Lee, and here's what he said. This is shaping up like a classic trap game for the Bucs.
I was telling people that.
Steve, that doesn't excuse it, Steve, but Panetti saw that the forces at work, you know, reading their own press clippings.
Wait a minute. How is Mike Panetti sitting in New Mexico sensing the Bucs are reading their own press clippings? I mean, come on. I'm not knocking him at all. I'm just saying that the trap game is a perception thing, right? And I understand that, you know, you can start to think a team is too far ahead of the other club that they're about to face. But, I mean, there was nothing that said the Bucs shouldn't be able to come out and score a few touchdowns at home. And like I said to start the podcast, you don't get beat at home when the other team can't throw a touchdown pass and nobody can name their running back.
Steve, you don't have to worry about Mayfield on Sunday because the Bucs are underdogs. He should be in fine shape.
Exactly. Now I'm mad again. Now I'm with the fans again. It's just inexcusable to have that happen. But, you know, Sean Payton has flustered and outcoached Todd Bowles many times, and he got a little lucky. But you're right, Ira, that was a bad call on that fourth down play. But, hey, it gave him a 14-0 lead, and all of a sudden there's confidence everywhere. And Mayfield led to that score with the interception. Any other takeaways from the actual play, Ira, on the field that you liked, that you didn't like? Are you concerned about the offensive line, or you think it'll just, you know, naturally come together? Lee talked about that happening last week.
There's one aspect, obviously, the interior offensive line stunk, but here's another thing. Bowles mentioned it, and he takes particular pride in doing this thing well, and they were awful yesterday, Steve. From the first snap, they were awful in tackling. I mean, really bad. And Lee, at their best, the Bucs are not a good tackling team. They're not. But yesterday was just egregious. I mean, How many 5-yard passes that turn into 11 yards? How many runs the guy gets hit behind the line of scrimmage? He wiggles free for 4 yards. All that stuff adds up. Down in distance, it affects all the play calling and how you feel on defense, whether you're the aggressor or you're back on your heels a little bit. They couldn't save their ass yesterday.
I didn't notice it that bad. I was looking at a bigger picture, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Maybe I'm getting used to the NFL in 2024 being a no-contact league.
They didn't even tackle Bo Nix very well when he was running the ball.
No, you're right. I mean, it was not a great day by Whitehead. And there were other missed tackles. Anthony Nelson, you know, just he can get to the quarterback, but he can't tackle anybody. You know, messy stuff.
Hey, at least they got the ball to the tight ends a couple of times. That'll make the Kemper happy. I believe I saw a Tane Doran reception.
Yeah, he can catch a ball.
Yeah, he made a couple of spectacular catches last year. Hope they didn't play him much. Maybe that's somebody they can work in. Otten had a career high for the regular season. 7 catches, I think it was 49 yards or something like that.
49 yards, okay.
He had that late. Right.
Steve, here's something that's it's a slight concern at this point. It's only 2 games long, but tell me if I'm exaggerating this, Steve, but when Mayfield's not throwing the ball to Chris Godwin, they're not having any success. I mean, nothing. Trey Palmer, you know, McMillan, Evans, 2 weeks in a row. It's the Chris Godwin show. Somebody else has got to step up. Steve, what's going on with the passing game?
Ivor, I got to ask you something here, and people get really ticked off when I say this. And I'm genuinely honest. I'm not trying to get a reaction. I'm not trying to be an a-hole here at all. I'm just looking for an answer. And I'm not suggesting Mike Evans is done. But his numbers, we keep reading about Travis Kelce is washed.
Right.
Evans' numbers aren't a whole lot different.
And he had a big game in week one, Lee.
I understand that. But look who he was playing. Is this a cause for concern, or is it still too small of a sample size? Again, people are screaming that Kelsey's washed up. Evans' numbers are very similar.
He's got too much professional pride. I think he's got plenty left. Steve, you're the guy that does the prop bets. I don't do any of that stuff. Steve, I got a prop bet for you next for Sunday. The first Bucs snap of the game is a pass intended for Mike Evans. What do you think, Steve? What do you think?
Reasonable chance. Yeah, that would be the pattern. After Todd Bowles says, "Oh, Byron Leftwich has got to get him more involved," you know, here comes the early work.
By the way, Steve, I mentioned Godwin. He's playing great, Steve. He looks great. I got no problem with throwing Godwin the ball. I'd like to spread it out a little bit, but Steve, he's playing great. I think through 3 games, Lee, you can make a strong case. Chris Godwin's been the best Buck.
Took the words out of my mouth, Ira. He's the best Bucks player right now after 3 games.
I got a question for you two gentlemen. It's a good one.
Real quick,
no,
Sage.
I don't have her number.
Sage, a couple things. First, BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com, as we heard earlier. Get shopping there right away. They are still beating prices by $100, any advertised price. There's no catch. BillCurryFord.com. Reach out to GM Sean Sullivan through the website. He will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. On top of that, Curry is the family name. Family owned makes a difference. Mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And Ira, also, as we mentioned, and it's worth repeating, there's another hurricane coming this way, crazy as it sounds. And everybody's got to get to floridaselite restoration.com today. So you know what they're all about. Have a disaster plan. Put them in it. Put them on speed dial as soon as you feel if there's some damage. Call them up because, of course, they're going to be slammed. Trust that you've got somebody great in your corner, floridaselite restoration.com. I just wanted to say, Ira, before you hit your point, I think it's too early on the Evans thing. You know, give it another game or two to, see what happens. We know he's going to be more of a focus this week, like you just mentioned. And let's see what that means. You know, let's see what that translates into. But, you know, I think 5 games is a good place to gauge Evans. And, you know, if he's still on pace for 700 yards like he is now, it'll be a problem.
You know, Lee made a great point on that play. Ill-advised throw by Mayfield. The interception. But what Lee said is right. Evans looked a little disinterested. Lee, that might be a push, an overreaction. He kind of turned his back on the ball. I'm not sure what he was doing on that play, but 2 things. One, I'm going to put on my Dennis Phillips hat. I'm going to make you boys laugh because I've been down here for 40 years. And Lee, I swear it never fails. Late September, there's always a freaking storm that's out there. That's 3 days away, 7 days away. This is the peak. Late September. Year after freaking year. I don't know what's going to happen with this one. I'm looking at the maps. They look like it's kind of close to, Lee, you and I, north of Tampa. I'm a little concerned.
We're in the cone of uncertainty.
Yes. All right, here's my question. Steve, I'll go to you first. Here's the four names. Which one of these is most important to get his ass back on the freaking field? Gedicke, Winfield, Cansey, or Vea? You get one choice. Who would you want to get back the most out of those four the quickest?
I'm going to have to go with Gedicke for two reasons. One, he plays every snap as an offensive lineman, so that's more critical. And, you know, obviously it's a massive drop off and the whole offense is falling apart without him. So I'm going to go there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. The offensive line is a shambles without him.
That's a good call, guys. That's a good call. I mean, as great as Winfield is, and he was fantastic last year, you're right. From a positional standpoint, I think that's the guy. Lee, and I don't think this is fair, Lee, but I know you're hearing it, Lee. I know you're hearing it. You know, Buck fans, they're looking for somebody to blame after that, you know, horrible performance.
I thought they were blaming Lee.
Lee, are you hearing any whispers from Buck fans through the comments or whatever? Hey, Cansey looks like a bust. Are you hearing that?
One or two comments they're suggesting, oh, this guy can't get on the field. I don't know about one guy came out and said he's a bust. He's always hurt. And he's not a bust, but I think that the team, when I say the team, I'm talking about the organization, has to be wondering. As 2 years in a row, he blew out his calf. I think it was a non-contract deal. I know the first was non-contract drill. I don't know about this one, the most recent one. I'm sure that's crossing the organization's mind that, we got to be careful. Maybe they have the trainers come up with a special program for him. I don't know. But it should be a concern for the team because he's a valuable player.
So much looking forward to a healthy Cansey this year and to see what kind of damage he could do, Steve.
Yeah, we all are. I don't think he's a bust, but it's, you know, he's just a dream right now. So we got to get him back on the field. Ira, I got to ask you this. Was this terrible home loss, was it enough to rattle the Glazers? To change their thought on anything? Change their perception on anything? Or have they been around long enough to just say, you know what, ugly loss, go beat Philly, or at least get the team back on track, and we go from there?
You answered it yourself, Steve. You're too smart. You answered your own question with the second part. They've been around, and it's going on 30 years. Lee, seems like yesterday. They bought the team in 95. They've been around. They were football fans before that. I think they were Dolphins fans, the Glazer boys. They're not known for panic mode. They're not. You know, when Raheem lost his last 10 games, they felt they had no choice. And they didn't want to fire him. They had no choice. They were going to lose the fan base. Not so with one loss, as bad as it was, Lee. As bad as it was, we can't pretty up what we saw. It was awful. Lee, I don't know how many Cuban sandwiches or ice cream you downed in that press box yesterday, but it didn't make it any more palatable what you saw on the field. I guarantee that. But you don't think the Glazers are in any kind of uproar at this point?
They might be in an uproar, but as you just stated, Ira, they're patient in the sense they'll wait it out. You know, I've been told by a reliable source a couple of years ago that Lovey was done after the Capitol collapse. That was it. They were hacked off enough against the Tennessee Ready game, and after the Capitol collapse, that was it. He was done. I'm not saying they made up their minds or they're going to make a move. I'm not saying that. I will back you up and say I agree with you. In a sense, they'll let the season play out. But here's what crossed my mind in the second half yesterday. Here comes the Bill Belichick chatter again.
Interestingly, you know, last week, Steve, I even mentioned that, you know, if Bowles keeps this going, they'll give him a new contract, you know, towards the end of the season. An extension. I'm not saying that's dead in the water. It's not. It's not dead in the water. Steve, I'll throw it to you on this point. If they start the first basic quarter of the season at 3-1, I mean, who the hell can argue with that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's a massive overreaction. I just had to ask you the question. You know, we don't have the final score. We don't have a final score yet. But if Washington beats the Bengals tonight, you know, like, heck, the Bucks would have knocked off two 2-1 teams in conference.
There's been an inordinate amount of big upsets this year. Big.
Up until this weekend, any team that was getting 7 points or more won outright. Everybody was saying, Redskins, 7 points. It's a trend this year. And I just couldn't pull the trigger on the Redskins against Joe Burrow on the road. I just couldn't. and now I'm looking like an idiot. And by the way, Ira, is it tonight? I think it's Doug Peterson's swan song. The Bills are about ready to take a 26-3 lead into the locker room at half.
34-3.
Yeah, they just scored. You're right. 34-3.
Oh boy, they don't know what to do with Trevor Lawrence either. Lee, they might be stuck. They might be stuck.
Oh, they're stuck, but that doesn't mean they can't get rid of Peterson.
Yeah, they could get rid of Peterson. No, no question about it.
All right, well, Sage, look, we'll put a bow on it. You know, crazy, crazy week.
Steve, I know what I want to say.
All right.
I know what I want to say. To back up my point about an inordinate amount of upsets, big upsets. Steve, I've never been in one of these, but I mean, it's a fun thing to do, these knockout pools where, you know, anytime somebody's playing Carolina, but you can only take that one team once. Then you got to take, you know, you can't take them again. But you could take a bunch of teams against Carolina. I mean, you could, but you would have lost yesterday. Steve, a lot of people in knockout pools, they're gone. They're history after 3 weeks. That's how it's been in the NFL.
Well, you got to have a good strategy with the survivor stuff, and you have to be very careful with the quarterbacks. But, you know, I said in the preseason when we talked about it, I was bummed out that the Bucs had Carolina late in the season because good chance Andy Dalton would be the quarterback. And Andy Dalton, if you want to win, if you want to go 7-10, he's your guy. You know, he's gonna win some games. I mean, they were a great bet to win yesterday because they went from no quarterback to a guy who knows is going to win 40% of his games all day long.
And Lee, if you were still alive going into week three with the knockout pool, I guarantee a lot of people took the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Russo was talking about today. And by the way, Russo wants to strangle Antonio Pierce because Russo got knocked out this weekend taking the Raiders. So he's kind of out of shape about that. But by the way, you see his ESPN Bet commercial?
No.
Dogs.
All right, Ira, you got a final thought for Bucs fans who are still, they're in crisis. You know, not all of them, but some of them are just in crisis mode. Their Super Bowl dreams have been exploded. Their faith they've built up in Todd Bowles slowly over the last 2+ years has been deflated. They don't know what's going on. What do you have to say to them?
Stevie, I don't know how many times I can say this in so many different ways. And Lee knows, get off the week-to-week roller coaster. It's a long season. I mean, it's a long season. The schedule in the middle of the year is difficult. It's treacherous. There's no doubt about it. If they get through that in decent shape, I think they're going to be fine going into the last 6 games. I'm not going to panic about one terrible performance. Lee, it was terrible. And Bowles said as much. You know how bad it was, Lee? Bowles couldn't even find a bright side. He couldn't find one. And if there was one, he would have mentioned it. But it's one game, Lee. We'll know more after the Philly game because now you got to show me that you can rebound from this garbage. I think they can. I don't know that I'm picking the Bucks, but if they get steamrolled again, Lee, we got a big problem.
That they do.
All right, Sage, we will see you later in the week. Stay safe in the storm if it comes, and if you got to evacuate with Cosmo, I'll take him in.
Thanks, guys.